You might want to remember those questions. We're going to deal with those at the end of the message this morning. But we're in the midst of doing a Say Yes project or campaign, whatever way you want to put it, encouraging people to be involved in ministry. Someone asked me, I think it was last night or Friday night, they said, if I'm already doing two or three things, do I need to fill the card out? Well, no, that's not the point. We are thankful for you. We appreciate you. We don't say it enough. We're so thankful for our people that work so hard and put so much effort in. And part of this Say Yes campaign is simply to say thank you. We appreciate you very much. However, we'll give you an opportunity at the end to take the card. And by the way, just so you know, it isn't about signing up for something. It's simply saying, I just need some more information. Would somebody please contact me and just give me some more information? And then once you have that information, you can decide whether you want to be committed to that particular ministry or not. We're talking about this. We're talking about the context of what is it that believers do. And one of the things, of course, we as believers need to be is good. We need to be good people in that sense. And I often say, I'm a pastor, I am paid to be good, but you're good for nothing. Well, maybe not. That's the whole total opposite of what we're trying to say today, is you are good for much, and we need you very, very much to be involved in this ministry. We're thankful for faithful people, and we realize that as we do what we do, we need faithful people to help us to reach our purpose. And our purpose is to reach people for Jesus Christ. Our purpose is not about doing programs. Our purpose is not about seeing how many people we can get here on Sunday morning. Our purpose is not about coming up with different things to keep us busy, because anybody can do that. What our purpose is to see people come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. And all of our effort and all of our work need to go into that. We realize that God gave the greatest gift He could ever give, that being His Son, to die on the cross for that purpose. That is our purpose, Matthew 28. That's why we exist. It's why we do what we do. Now, with that in mind, let's go to 1 Corinthians, because we want to know how we as a body function together to achieve that purpose. How do we function together to get that accomplished if that's what we're called to do? Matthew 28, go and make disciples. And picking it up this morning at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and picking it up at verse 12. There we go. I'm here somewhere, I promise you. I will catch up sooner or later. I will get up to speed. It will happen. Picking it up at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not exist of one member, but of many. And if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, or as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? And it is, as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together, and if one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individual members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Obviously, he's beginning to ask some rhetorical questions. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a more excellent way. So yes, that's what we're talking about this morning. Father, I ask your blessing as we look into this passage. And Father, you challenge our hearts. And Father, we have so many wonderful, committed people. We never, ever, in any sense, way, shape, or form, want to come across that we're not happy with the service that people do, because they are wonderful. They serve with a wonderful heart. But Father, there may be some sitting here today who say, you know, I'm not doing anything, or I would love to be involved. I want to be a part of that church. I want to be a part of that greater purpose of reaching people for Christ. And today would be a day when they would make a commitment, Father, to do that. All of us can be challenged by this. All of us can be challenged by the fact that you sent your son to die on the cross and pay the penalty of our sin, that we can have eternal life by simply placing our trust in him. All of us can be challenged by the fact that we need to take that message and to tell others and tell more people about it. And so help us to be committed to that cause in the days ahead. We ask your blessing now as we look at this passage for just a few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things you notice right off is the word body that's found here. And now, you don't have time this morning, and normally I would take the time to point that out to you, but we don't have time to do that this morning. But if you had a pen and you do that later, not now, please, you can do that later. You can take a pen and you can just circle the word body. And in that passage we just read, 19 times the word body is there. 19 times the word body is there. So I'm going to make you all scholars this morning, and biblical scholars. What's the passage about today? Very good. You're excellent. That's great. We can sit down. I can get done. No, I'm not going there. But we can do that because you have just figured out he's talking about the body. And he's talking about the physical body. That's our physical body. And he's comparing it to the spiritual body, or better yet, the church. And he begins to bring that idea together. And so I've conducted an outline this morning and got one ready to go. And I think it's a little confusing, but I think it'll help us a little bit. The first thing in the outline is this: one body, many parts. One body, many parts. And the point that he's making is unity. In verses 12 and 13, he says, "For just as the body is one and has many members," one body, many parts, "and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." And the point that he's making here is there are many different parts, and yet we make up the one. You can imagine how difficult it would be if we had all the parts doing whatever they wanted to do at any time. No, we need to come together and understand that there needs to be unity. And it is important that you have your ministry, and you have your ministry, and you have this ministry or whatever, as long as those ministries are building towards the one purpose of seeing people come to know Christ. There are different parts, yet one body. And he makes that very clear, and he says, "Don't you realize that by the Spirit of God, we have been placed into this one body, this local body, and we've been made to drink, as it were, or be a part of that, and understand that everything that we do builds towards that one purpose or that one goal." So every part is important, but every part needs to be pushing in the same direction. I'm rebuilding an old 1958 pickup because I just have lost my mind somewhere. I decided to do this. I bought this 58 pickup. I tore it right down to as far down as you can go. And there have been absolute moments of terror when I've stood there and looked at all the parts and thought, can I put this back together? Can I get it together? But I, if I'm feeling that way, my wife must be thinking, oh, what an idiot. How did he do this? But I know I've got this thing spread out all over the place, and there's parts all over the place, and slowly but surely I'm putting piece by piece back together. Do you know something? That all of those parts, as important as they are, when they're not a part of the truck, when they're laying all over the garage, are absolutely useless. It's only as they begin to come together, as they begin to work together, that they accomplish the task of why that truck was made in the first place. You see, every part is important as long as it's pushing in the same direction. One body, many parts, pushing towards unity. The second part of the outline is many parts, one body, and that's talking about diversity. Just exactly the opposite thing. In verse 14 down to 20, he talks talks about the fact that every part is important, but every part, again, makes up the whole, but there's many parts. And so the one purpose is important, but we cannot do it without important parts. Every part adds to it. Every part makes it work. And you say, well, you know, all I do is clean toilets. Well, I got news for you. That's a very important part. You say, all I do is help out by being a listener in Awana. Extremely important part. Every part is important. Every part adds to the whole. Many different tasks, but many different roles. But one body functioning together is exactly what he's talking about. All parts are needed to make up the whole body. And if a part is missing or a part refuses to work, the body is not whole and it is not complete. And when you look at this and you think about how this works, he says, you know, a part can just say, well, I don't want to be a part of the body, but it's just as much a part of the body. Just because my foot says, well, I don't want to be a part of the body anymore, it still is. That's the point that he makes. And my one part can't say to another part, you're not as important. You don't matter as much. And he says, you know, if we're all one part or one simple part, what would that do? In other words, if we were all foots, or we're all feet. How can we accomplish anything? You need the hands, you need the fingers, you need the parts and all of that. And thus it is in the body of Christ that every part is important. Every part does its part, and we need you desperately. How many people learn to drive on a standard? Some of you people have no idea what I'm talking about. You drive me nuts. Yeah, I learned to drive on a standard, and the young people are going, huh, what are you talking about? You know, but I learned to drive on a standard. As a matter of fact, I insisted my wife learned to drive on the standard because we owned a standard at that point, and I encouraged her to take her driver's test on the standard instead of borrowing an automatic because she couldn't, never mind. Anyway, I get myself in trouble, you know how. But anyway, so the idea is, you know, we learned to drive on a standard. You remember that first time? Come on, admit it. And you kind of had to let the clutch out, and you had to get the gas going, and you had to get it in gear, and you were trying to work it all together, and you looked up and you were going off the road into the ditch. I remember that happening, you know. But guess what? I had to figure it out somewhere along the way that the steering wheel and the blinker and the left foot and the right foot and the gear shift, all of that had to work together somehow. That's exactly what the body of Christ is. Every piece, every part, coordinating, working together, coming together in a powerful way. And it's amazing how far we can go when everybody does their part. How important that is. One body, many parts. Many parts, and yet one body. The first one's about unity, that we are together. The second part about that is about diversity, that every part has to be there. Every part has to be pulling in the right direction in order for us to accomplish the task that God wants us to. Number three, many parts, one purpose. Many parts, one purpose. And that's about equality. And you pick that up from verses 21 down to verse 26. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be the weaker are the indispensable ones. And the point that he's making is, even though it may not seem that one part is important, it's very important. And every part is equally important. No matter what you're doing, it's so important that it makes it up. And matter of fact, the body suffers when somebody doesn't step up and do their part. How many of you have had a sore foot, and that sore foot just completely affects your whole body? Every part of you aches because of maybe that sore foot or the sore back, and it affects everything. Well, thus it is with the body of Christ. When someone says, hey, I refuse to do my part, we pay the price for that as a ministry. Or if someone gets an attitude of, what you do is not as important as what I do, because what I do is so important that, you know, we don't really even matter. And so the total idea of that. And see, what it is that every part is equally important. Now, not every part maybe is glamorous, you know, in your own body. And he goes to that and he points that out. He said, there's some parts that we kind of cover up. And, you know, we don't let out because we just don't think they're that glorifying or whatever. He said, there's some parts that, you know, just kind of, even the parts that we allow out, like our face, we do shave shave and makeup and all or whatever it is you would do. Well, we want to make them look better. And so there's this whole effort then to glorify some parts, but the truth of the matter is every part is important. Every part is needed. Every part is equal, and we cannot function with that. And if we have one part that's missing, oh, how difficult it is. And the thing is, we need to be working towards that understanding that this purpose that God has given us is so important, and we need to be realizing that every part is necessary in order to make that work. In other words, if you say, well, I'm not going to be involved in this, or I'm not going to do a ministry, or whatever your reason might be, I just don't feel like it, or I'm getting kind of old, reaching for the bench, whatever it might be, whatever it is, we suffer as a body when you don't participate, or you don't participate fully and completely and do your part. It's important to understand that I'm part of a bigger purpose. I have a bigger reason for being here. Reminder of the story of the guy going around and interviewing people at a church, and they're building this church, and he's walking around, he's interviewing people, and he comes up to the first person and he says to him, what are you doing? And the guy says, I'm laying bricks. And so he's laying bricks. And he goes to the next guy and he says, what are you doing? He says, I'm laying bricks. Third one, what are you doing? Oh, I'm laying bricks. Comes to the fourth guy, and the fourth guy's doing exactly the same thing. No different than the other ones. And he walks up to him, he says, what are you doing? And he says, I'm building a cathedral. Small difference, but a huge difference. To understand that what I do is part of the greater picture, the part of the greater purpose that God has given us. Number four, one purpose, but many parts. One purpose, but many parts, and that gives us flexibility. Verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Notice that oneness and that unity, that flexibility, that equality, that's all in that statement. And God has appointed in the church first apostles and second prophets and third teachers, and he goes down through this list, and he says that every part is important. You can't all be one part. You have to be your part that God has given you in that way. And all parts are equal, but different. Fulfill the purpose that God has given us. Different roles, we need to understand that. And God has put us into different roles and gifted us in different ways that we're able to do that. But every part matters, and we miss it when somebody else or somebody says, I'm not doing my part. Well, what are some questions that we began with on that introduction video? We call it a sermon bumper video. What is that? That there were some questions that were there. I want to just deal with those for just a minute as I bring this to conclusion. Number one, where do I serve? Where do I serve is the question, the first question that was there. Well, I say this, according to need and gift. According to need and gift. And Dave dealt with this really well last week. What is your gift? Ask God, what is the gift that God has given you? When you come to know Christ as your personal Savior, when you make that decision to trust Christ, he gives you a gift or gifts. And you're to take those and you're to use those for the glory of God, for the building up. And so you're to serve then according to that. You may have the gift of helps. And you think, well, I could serve in the kitchen. That's a place where I can serve. Or you may have the gift of hospitality. You can invite people out to lunch or to your house. And you use that gift in that way. Gift of administration. Some of our Awana people are not necessarily working with kids. They're just good at administration, and all the awards get ordered and all of that stuff because of the work that they do. And so according to gift, but also according to need. You know, you cannot just say, well, I've got this gift and I'm going to use it whether there's a need for it or not. But if you have that gift and you pray and ask God to open up that place of service, God will open up that, and he'll help you to find that, and he'll use it powerfully in that way. And so where do I serve? According to gift and according to need. When do I serve? When do I serve? I put it this way, as long as you're alive and able. How's that one? You know, you don't get a break. You don't get to get off on this. As long as you're alive and able. If you attend here, you need to have a part. You have a part that God has given you. And if you're not functioning, if you're not using your gift or your gifts in that way, then we as a church are suffering with that greater purpose, that one goal to reach people. And so we need everybody to step up. You're never too young. You're never too old. Every person can do their part. One of the exciting things for me happens to be our sound room right now. We have teenagers serving in there. We have old people like Ken Brown serving in there. We have lots of people that are serving in there. Every part. We have, you know, from seniors to young people to every part. And you look at that sound room, and it's exciting to look and just have a chance there to look sometime and see how God is doing that with humble passion. That's what needs to be there. You see, humility means submitting to God and the church leadership and the purpose that God has given us. When I submit to that, that's called humility. Having a humble attitude that if you can use me, I'm here. How you can use me, I'm willing to do it. If it requires me to do something that's beneath what I might think normally I do, I'll do it if that's what's required in that way. And all of us needs to have that attitude of submitting to one another. And then passion, humble passion. Passion means a faithful commitment, being committed to what I've said I'm going to do and doing it well. Now, I'm going to stop for a moment right here and have a family talk. We're going to have a talk here in the family. When there's a problem in the family, you know, we sit down and we talk about it. And guess what? I'm the head of the family. So we're going to do that right now. We have a problem, folks, and that's called our nursery. And it's a problem that we're thankful for in the sense that, did you see all the people that were up here? And the babies, and we're trying to reach young people, and we're trying to reach out to that, but we are really struggling in our nursery area. I think most churches struggle there, but we're struggling as well. And so we are so thankful for those who serve. We thank you for Stacy, who heads that up, and for Pastor Nate, and that's his area of responsibility. But we're struggling. Number one, we're struggling to get people to help us in that area, and that should not be in a church this size. And you may need to say, hey, how can I work in the nursery? But let me tell you two other things. Just don't tell anybody. It's just confidential, but some of our people don't even show up. They sign up, but they don't show up. You know what that does to us as a ministry? You know how difficult that is when all of a sudden people are supposed to be involved in the service or in the worship team or serving or welcoming, and then, holy cow, now they're standing there holding a baby at the nursery. And then the other thing that happens, and I hate to say this, but I just need to talk to you about this, is people show up at 5 after or 10 after instead of 1:45. This is absolutely true that a few weeks ago there were 10 families standing outside the downstairs nursery waiting for someone to come at 10 after 10. That can't happen. People need to be signed up. They need to be here, and they need to be here on time. It's desperate. It's so important. You say, why is that important? It's just babysitting. Oh, I got news for you. I think the people who do our nurseries are more involved with people coming to know Christ than I am. You say, what? How can that be? Absolutely. That's how important it is. You say, why? Well, let's say a young family comes in, and they come in, and they get there, and they go downstairs, and all of a sudden they're waiting for somebody to come, and nobody comes, and they get frustrated. They're just new. They don't know any better, and they stand there, and they wait, and they get frustrated, and they carry that, or and then what? They come in here, and they sit down, and they're frustrated, and it doesn't matter what I say. They're not hearing it. We need to fix this problem. And I'm not picking on that particular ministry. Well, I am. You can say whatever I want, you know. But folks, please, please, you know, if you're a young mom and you say, well, after 3 or 4 weeks of, you know, or 6 weeks or whatever it is, and you say, hey, I'm going to help out over in that area. We need help desperately. We need people that are committed, and we need people that are on time. We need people that are going to be here because it's such a vital ministry. Let me give you another scenario. Young mom comes in, unsaved, doesn't know Christ. Young family comes in, gets there. About 10 after 10, they're thinking, I'm not coming back here again. And we could end up with a young mom and that child going out and never going to a church again, never going to a place where the gospel is taught. And we have lost them for the cause of Christ because of a nursery worker. Be here on time, no matter what your job is. Commit to it. Do it and do it well because it's so important. It makes a difference. And I know you think, well, I'm just doing this and they'll never know I'm not there. Oh, my stars. When you're not here, the world falls apart. Really, we just are so dependent on you. We need you so desperately to step up and do your part. Please, please make that happen. I'm thankful for those who serve, but serve well. Well, why do I serve? And this really ties into it. Why do I serve? To glorify God. It's not to build up the church. It's not to make me feel good. It's not to make we're not satisfying man. We're to serve as unto Christ. Serve as unto God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, it is my responsibility of service. It's my privilege to serve in that way. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God. And notice this, which is my spiritual worship or reasonable service, whichever way you want to put it there. You know, you say, why do we do what we do? We do this because of the Great Commission that God has given us. The Great Commission found in Matthew chapter 28. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's our marching orders. That's what we are to do. And we need everybody doing their part in order for that to happen. Just bring up the logo there for a second, Di. You see, look at our logo and you say, well, what's that about? That's our philosophy of ministry. And notice that it's in a circle. It's not linear. It's not in this direction. It's in a circle. It's there for a reason. You say, how does this work? Well, you begin with worship, and worship's what we do this morning, and that's our entry point, and that's where people get come, and they're part of the life center and the good things that happen. And then from there, you move to a life group, and we're so thankful for what's happening in our life groups, and Josh is going to talk about that a little later, but in our life groups and being involved in that and grow. And then notice from there, you move around to serve, and then part of being that part of that service and moving and being a part of that and saying yes. And all of that, based on Matthew 28, what? Brings us through service, getting people to come back to the morning service, that entry point. All of our ministries need to focus in that way. All of our direction needs to be that way. Our personal attitude, our personal invitation, inviting people to come on Sunday morning, and we serve and do it all to the glory of God. Number five, who do I serve? Christ in his church, not myself, not my ministry, not focused on me. I'm going to ask our ushers to come with us some time and bring the cards with them and just hand them out. And we've got lots of them, so take one of those. But as they're coming and giving you those cards, I want you to think about this. What gift do you have? How are you using it? Are you using it for the glory of God? What gift do we have, and how are you using it? What difference are you making for eternity? If you were to ask that question, if you were to stand before God right now, and he were to say, what difference are you making for eternity? What difference are you making to impact lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ? What difference are you making? Well, you know, as you think about that, you can help us to fulfill the vision, the calling that God has given us to reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I encourage you to prayerfully consider how you can be involved in eternal work, how you can be involved in this church. And if you're doing ministry, we praise God for you. That's not the point. But if you're not, or you're thinking, well, God may be using something else in my life or in a different way, just fill out that card and check it, or put your name down. Say, would somebody please contact me? And as we do that, we'll contact you and encourage you to be a part of the ministry. Who do I serve? I serve Christ. Christ needs to be first and foremost in my life and in your life. And as a church, he's the one we need to be lifting up as we move forward in the days ahead. So much is at stake. When I look at that platform this morning and I see those families across there and all of those children, the only thing that really comes to my mind is so much is at stake. So much is at stake. These children and your families coming to know Christ may depend on whether I step up and serve.